This program is brought to you in the new Economy Sound ABC Mono, the unique one-channel sound. With Mono, you need only one speaker, one amplifier, and one ear.
Yes, twist that dial while there's still time. We'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Lance Curtis, Angela Weber, Adam Bowen, Peter Smalley, Jane Harders, and Drew Forsythe. Special guest, live from the Willa Walla Bangalong Country Festival, is Rambling John Eubank with Dave Coulton, Willie Qua, Sunshine Boys, Eli Bickerstaff with Arthur Greenslade and his Sheiks of Syncopation, plus a cameo appearance by Kevin Hocking and his Castellata Orchestra. Meanwhile, as nature never intended, we're slightly out to lunch.
Reginald Crass, also known as Laugh a Minute Lonergan, you are accused of being a stand-up comedian and performing bad jokes in a public place. How do you plead?
I'm not guilty, Bumbum.
I see. Call the first witness for the defense.
Your Honor, as counsel acting for Mr. Crass, my first witness will be the defendant himself. Mr. Crass, who was the lady I saw you with this morning?
Oh, that was no lady. That was my wife.
I understand she recently went on holiday to the West Indies.
Oh, that's correct, yes.
Jamaica?
Objection. Sustained. Counsel will refrain from giving the witness gag lines.
My apologies, Your Honor. Now then, Mr. Crass, she did go to the West Indies.
Yes, but she went off her own accord. Thank you. You're a lovely audience.
Objection. Sustained.
But, Your Honor, I'm merely trying to prove to the court that my client's family never wanted for anything.
Except my Uncle Charlie. He's wanted for bigamy.
He did it again.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Now then, Mr. Crass, what's your impression of your wife?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't do impressions.
Objection.
Your Honor, what has this got to do with the case?
Your Honor, I'm merely trying to show to the court that my client found it necessary to perform his comedy routines at night in order to pay for his wife's expensive tastes. For example, he bought her a Greek urn.
Objection.
What have I done now?
Your Honor, I can see this coming a mile off.
Nonsense. Your Honor, I must object to his objection.
And I object to his objection, to my objection about his objection.
Silence! Silence!
Who's there?
What?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janet evening.
Objection!
Oh, shut up! Now then, where were we? Oh, yes. What's a Greek urn?
About 10 drachmas a week.
Thank you.
Quiet! What do we all say to a little adjournment?
Hello, little adjournment.
Objection.
All right, that's it. Reg Crass, I find you guilty as charged. I must submit you to the maximum penalty by law. You will be taken to your cell and...
Not!
Yes! I sentence you to watch 10 consecutive episodes of Prisoner! No appeal! Next case!
Again to all you lovely people out there, and welcome to our next guest, the amazing Professor Rathborn Nitpick, an expert in semantics.
Oh, no, that's not strictly correct.
I beg your pardon, Professor?
Your use of the word expert is not strictly correct. An expert is someone who specializes in a certain subject. I am merely learned in semantics.
But you do hold classes in which you teach semantics.
No, I do not hold them. Hold means to grasp, to embrace, clutch, grip, hug, steady, support, or even fondle.
I'm afraid I've been misinformed.
Well, actually, I instruct students on the theory of the precise meaning of words, for which I am glad to say they pay me a fee.
But that's what I said.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Well, it's certainly what I meant.
But it's not what you said.
Well, Professor Nitpicker, perhaps we'll forget that and go on to...
I can't forget it, I'm afraid.
You can't what?
Forget it. Forgetting is an involuntary process. I can forgive it or possibly overlook it. Is that what you meant?
Well, what I was really saying, Professor Nitpicker...
We have established what you were saying. I infer that what you now wish me to do is to take up another theoretical point of view.
No, but don't you think that perhaps you're just splitting hairs?
My dear fellow, that's hairdressing.
The man's an idiot.
To be precise, a fool.
Can't somebody up there shut him up? He's balmy.
Shut up, my dear fellow, is what you do to a shop. I can, on the other hand, be silent. That would be more correct.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to be silent for just a moment, Professor, while we have a short break.
Wrong. Intermission is the word.
No, break.
Conceivably hiatus, but I'm afraid I can't accept break.
No, it's a standard term.
Yeah.
From across the seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theatre, it's the Cooey Newsreel.
Paris, the mecca of high fashion. And this season's haute couture is displayed at the salon of leading designer André Peacock. A society crowd has gathered to see the show, and one of the leading mannequins this year is lovely Australian Deborah Dumkopf, seen here modelling Europe's new ragged look. She whirls at the end of the stage, but her foot catches in the gown, and the crowd gasps as she falls heavily. Unfortunately, the expensive gown is ruined, but beautiful Debbie is unhurt. There's no doubt about it, you can't keep the Aussies down, even in the world of high fashion. Ireland, and a strange sight in the hills behind Dublin. Kangaroos training with the Republic's army. The roos were imported to teach Irish troops how to spring high into the air. The soldiers used this method to gain access to hovering helicopters and also to dodge rapidly advancing enemy tanks. A new regiment, the 1st Limerick Leapers, has been formed to put these tactics into effect, and the long-legged marsupials have all been given the rank of brigadier. A burly Irish corporal tries out the new drill, but is flattened by an approaching tank. Practice makes perfect, Paddy, sure and begorra. Kangaroos bring Australian military know-how to the Emerald Isle. A somber day for the racing world at the funeral in Sydney of former champion jockey Tiny Tom Trifecta, killed tragically in a recent fall from the curb outside his home in the suburbs. Mourners included the diminutive rider's prize thoroughbred Shetland Boris and well-known racing identities Ken Connivance and Noel O'Noble, seen here arriving at the church. In his heyday, Tiny Tom was renowned throughout the racing world as the only jockey who could win a race while sitting in the horse's ear. Australia's sport of kings, farewell, its smallest son.
The Cooey Newsreel, across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Yes?
Mrs. Venal?
Yes.
I'm from the local newspaper. You wrote to us saying you had some unusual pets. We've come to do a story on you.
Yes, that's right. Oh, you better come in then.
Thank you. Look, I won't keep you long. Mrs. Venal, what sort of unusual pets do you have?
Well, there's quite a few, actually. There's this little fellow, for example.
But that's a tin of sardines.
Yes, I call him Spot.
I see. Well, I suppose that is unusual. How long have you had him?
Let's see. I got him just before I got the lemming.
The lemming?
Yes, the lemming. A sort of a vole. It keeps running around trying to throw itself off the furniture. Cute little thing.
I see. Do you have any other pets?
Well, there's the boa.
The boa?
Boa constrictor. It's a sort of large snake.
Now, that is interesting. What's its name?
Quisling.
Quisling.
Quisling, yes. He's a lovely thing, 20 foot long and 1.5 foot thick. And treacherous. I think that's what I love about him, the treachery.
Oh, I see. How does Quisling get on with your other pets, the lemming, for instance?
Oh, he really loved the lemming, soon as he saw him. Never had to worry about wasting food with Quisling about. He'll eat anything, mice, ferrets, armadillos, people.
People? Did you say people? He eats people?
He talks, too.
Talks?
Yes, he says, help! Someone get me out of here! Of course, that could be the postman. I haven't seen him since yesterday morning.
Look, Mrs. Venal, don't you think it's a bit dangerous having something like that about the house? It really does sound to me like this snake should be taken to a zoo or something.
No, there's nothing to worry about. Not if you're careful, eh? He sleeps most of the time. It's only when he wakes up he gets hungry. Then he swallows the nearest thing he sees.
Where is he now?
He's under your chair. No. No, wait. Don't move. Any sudden movement and he gets vicious.
Under my chair?
Shh! No! No, don't do that! No! Now look what you've done, Quisling. You naughty, naughty boy. You've eaten the reporter. You've had your dinner. Now, how am I going to feed the gorilla?
Why, howdy, friend. Howdy do there. I want to sing you critters a real purty little country and western song. I kind of hope you'll sort of enjoy it. I sure do. And I kind of wrote it myself. My name's Buster Colorado, and I want to tell you people here at the festival, what we're doing is going what's called live to air. And that means it goes straight out over your heads, across those gum trees, and out there onto the radio. So I want to say howdy doody to all you folks in radio land and all. Okay, let's get mellow and sort of settle back. Do it for me, boys. Do it for me. I'm the man who puts the muse back in the music. And the snow upon the Rocky Mountain range. And a freight train on the lines. And a squirrel in the pines. But some folks say that makes me kind of strange. I'm the man who puts the West back into Western. I'm a loner, but I ain't no prairie hick. I'm reliable as a clock, and I'm solid as a rock. And some folks say I'm thicker than a brick. You know, friends, I kind of go to the city sometimes, and I see those city slickers trapped there like rats in a maze. And I can see they're kind of wondering what life's all about. I want to share a little bit of homespun philosophy with you, friends. You know, when I'm out there in the Australian outback, I kind of listen to that lonesome wind blowing across from Antarctica, straight across Ayers Rock, and right up to me and across my little campfire. And I look up at the moon and the stars like jewels in the crown of a princess. And I know what life's all about. Take me home, boys. Country road. Take me home now. I'm the man who puts the tree back into country. Allow the good Lord puts the water in the rain. No matter how heavy it gets, without water, rain wouldn't be wet. And I work that out myself with my own brain. Yeehaw! Gotta be traveling, friends.
Theta 4. Continuous music.
Listen and repeat. 1. Ross sta fumando una grossissima spinella. Ross is smoking a huge joint. 2. Il proprietario ha telefonato alla polizia. The landlord has called the police. 3. I poliziotti stanno bussando alla porta di Ross. The policemen are beating on Ross's door.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, and it's nice to be with you again. And as usual, I'm speaking to you for my surgery out here at my clinic in Drainage Hills. And this week's letter is one from Gillian Trombone of North Dismal. Golly, Gillian, I haven't been out Dismal Way for ages. It probably hasn't changed. And you write, Dear Bruce, I would very much like to own an Australian wild animal as a pet, but my brother says I am not allowed, it's against the law, they're all protected. But if I could, I would like to own either a kangaroo or a wallaby, or I might like a goanna. Are goannas difficult to keep? Well, firstly, Gillian, generally it's difficult under Australian law to own any type of animal that can't bite. No, I'm only pulling a leg, Gillian, because of course we can own a horse or a cat or a snail or something like this, can't we? But I'd like to ask you why you listen to your brother's advice all the time, dear. He sounds to me like a carping, nagging, disturbingly aggressive sort of person, and I'm sure this is because he's not really your brother. You've probably heard of those cases where babies get put with the wrong mothers in the maternity ward and end up having terrifically depressing and ugly lives because their genes just aren't the same as the person who's supposed to be their mother, which results inevitably in ghastly tantrums and outbreaks of horribly debilitating nervous disorders, usually in public. No doubt you've observed this apparently lunatic behaviour in your brother. And, of course, he takes out his trauma and his grief on you. And heaven knows what he'd do if he had a pet of any kind. Probably cut it open or something. Still, you needn't let this worry you, Gillian, with regard to your own pet. Just make sure your brother is kept away from it at all times. Now, what about the choice? Well, look, personally, I don't approve of kangaroos or even wallabies in the home, Gillian, for the simple reason there are no fences to jump inside a house, are there? And as far as a goanna is concerned, dear, gee, I'd be very dubious, really, I would. I should think he'd wee on the furniture and regurgitate mice on the carpet and that sort of thing. Mind you, it'd be a good idea to keep your brother at a distance with him. Yes, a goanna would be ideal there. But frankly, even with that advantage, I think you'd be much better off with something traditional, dear, like a bull mastiff or a goldfish, say. Anyway, thanks for your letter, Gillian, and now this is Bruce Lassus saying goodbye till next time, and please bear in mind, a pet is like a mirror. You only look good if you keep it clean.
Okay, put the money in the bag and be quick about it.
Yes, sir.
No, only the use notes.
Right, customers face down on the floor. Bank staff, put your hands behind your heads and tie your shoelaces together.
Now, how can I tie my shoelaces together with my hands behind my head? Besides, my shoes don't have laces.
Oh, yeah, we've got a bit of a smarty-pantsy here, have we? What are you, sunshine?
I'm the manager.
Manager, eh? Oh, and we're wearing Gucci moccasins, are we? Hey, Basher, I'd like to see the manager dance, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Make him dance.
All right, off with the Guccis and put these on.
Right, on my count of four. Start tapping. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
All right, bank staff and customers, join in the chorus.
The skies are sunny. Our bank depression, you are through, you've done us wrong.
This is the police. The bank is surrounded. You cannot escape. Throw out those tap shoes and come quietly.
Not a chance, copper. Come and get her.
We're in the money. Come on for honey. Let's spend it, blend it, send it rolling right along.
Okay, bank, you let him have it.
Would your bank manager know how to tap dance his way through a bank robbery? Lynn Groynes of the Commonplace stars.
Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy. It came from Richie Mulca. Jeffrey the Giant Sheep is now a greater menace than ever. Not only has he completely devoured Ayers Rock, but his personal hygiene is so poor that grown men pull their own heads off rather than stand downwind of him. It's even feared that unless he is shorn soon, a case of blowfly strike could result in the biggest blowies the world has ever seen. Jeffrey, meanwhile, continues his relentless rampage across the continent towards Adelaide.
There were wild scenes at the Adelaide Arts Festival today when Jeffrey the Giant Sheep stormed the closing ceremony and ate half the performers. Those devoured included 5 mimes, 2 unproduced playwrights, 18 minor English novelists, the entire Latvian Theatre of the Invisible, 2 feminist cap jugglers and the Cambridge Footlights Review. Authorities later named the sheep most original act of the festival.
As Jeffrey continues along his destructive path, the calls to stop him get louder. However, one group stands apart. The radical environmental group, Friends of the Sheep, meet to discuss ways of protecting the monster.
And I say we ought to blockade all government instrumentalities until such time as the government sees fit to stop harassing poor Jeffrey and allows him to enjoy all his rights and privileges as a giant sheep.
Thank you, Sister Raylene. Yes, good idea. Any other suggestions? Brother Kevin.
Yeah, well, I think we ought to take our clothes off and form a chain of love around Parliament House so that by engaging in various forms of fornication...
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else? I think Rainbow was next.
What? Yeah. I reckon Geoffrey is really important. I mean, as sheep go, he's really the greatest, literally, and should be protected and stuff.
What if we formed a pyramid of love outside Parliament House by taking all our clothes off and lying on top...
I don't think some of you fully appreciate what we're trying to do here. Not only is Geoffrey the most endangered species in the world, but he's the last of the giant marsupials.
But he's not a marsupial. He's a sheep.
Well, yeah. Of course he's not a marsupial per se. What I'm saying is he's symbolic. Symbolic of the marsupials. And has the right to demand protection under the UN Charter pertaining to useless native fauna.
We could form a sort of Ferris wheel of love outside...
Shut up, Kevin! Look, it's simple. We make Geoffrey an honorary marsupial, and that way the government has to act under its obligations to the UN. So all those in favour of Geoffrey becoming a marsupial, raise your hands.
Yeah.
All those against.
Hold everything! Geoffrey's just drunk the Franklin River!
Well, is this the way to win friends and influence environmentalists? Has Geoffrey bitten off more than he can chew? And what is a Ferris wheel of love? Tune in for the next exciting episode of It Came from Widgie Malta.
Tired of holidaying alongside people with below room temperature IQs? Do you want something more intellectually lasting from a holiday than a strapless tan? Then come to Club Head. Club Head, with branches all over the thinking world, offers highbrow holidays for the world-weary walking encyclopedia. Artists, want to get away from it all or simply express through an art free from the conventions of the naturalistic tradition the simplicity of unspoiled Polynesian life? Then Club Head Tahiti might be the ticket. Enjoy fun-filled beach discourses on the zen of suntan lotion. Join in the German philosophy pool party. You'll have guffaws galore deciding if your Lilo's really a Lilo or actually the revelation of your intelligence made manifest. Is there a difference between the being and the idea? Ask one of our gorgeous Club Head bikini BAs. You'll discover that no man is an island, especially when Professors Cheryl and Denise are around. Yes, there's something for every know-all at Club Head Tahiti. See you there.
Hello, Jean-Luc Vichyssoise with World Cinema. This week, an offering from Egypt, The Curse of Abdul's Mummy. This delightful film is set in the Egypt of the pharaohs. It tells the story of a young camel driver driven by passions beyond his control to ask repeatedly for a personal abacus. It still has much to tell us about the Ireland of today. Well, in desperation, Abdul asks his teacher to wear rubber and call him Tiger, bringing trouble with the town councillors who do not know what rubber is. A further complication, Abdul is caught in possession of a hieroglyphic showing a human head with eyes on the front of the face instead of at the sides. His angry mother, who has slaved for years over a dung stove to save enough for his education and a decent tomb, will now communicate with him only by using a glove puppet. In this scene, Abdul is captured by the royal guard and accused of not fully understanding the difference between a dromedary and a Bactrian camel. He's sentenced to be walled up in a pyramid, where he sings longingly of his Nubian paramour, the expansive Ella of the 18 Vales. I feel sure you will be ravished by the curse of Abdul's mummy.
Ella was a dancing girl who started getting fat, and every day brought a kilo more to Ella. Till one day she found she'd lost her job because of that, and to make it worse she'd lost her fella. So she took a trip to Egypt to forget, but she made such a hit that she's there yet. If you hear of a gal who can shake and quake till it makes you think of a nervous snake, they're speaking of Egyptian Ella. She weighs 90 kilos, but they don't care. They like him plenty that way down there. She has the love of every fella. Well, she does a dance with certain parts by the River Nile, and makes all the boys take their old sweethearts and throw them to the crocodiles. And every sheik in the audience jumps up and offers her love intense. Oh, how they love Egyptian Ella.
And as Abdul laments, we cut to the famous scene where Ella performs her erotic dance of the seven beach towers.
About dates, so they can't make Egyptian Ella. As she tried to kidnap her once, I'm told, but she shook so much that he lost his hold. He couldn't take Egyptian Ella. So the Pharaoh wrote her a royal note with his royal fist that said because of the dance she does, she's on his royal wedding list. And that's how fame of a different sort has come at last from an indoor sport to our own Egyptian Ella.
Two cups of whale blubber and some grated walrus and allow to stand there. Look, shut that door, will you, lovey? The igloo's getting cold.
That's the only kind of igloo there is, dear. What's for dinner?
Whale meat again.
Don't know where, and I don't know when, but I know.
Oh, that stopped being funny years ago, Nanook.
Sorry, love oil. I had a tough day at work. I hate dealing with polar bears. They just won't listen to reason.
Oh, my poor little seal basher. Come over here and rub noses.
Yeah. How was your day?
Oh, not too bad. I went over to Baffin Bay to see the icebergs.
The icebergs? I didn't know they let sheilas in.
No, the icebergs. You know, those big white things that float in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, Nan. Bye, Dad.
Oh, shut that door, will you? And wipe your knees.
G'day, Terry. How was the beach?
Oh, it's okay. I didn't go in, but it was frozen over.
Sit down and have your dinner, Pet. It's whale meat again.
Don't know where. What did I do?
She's in one of her moods again.
Yeah, well, I can't stick around for tea anyway. I just come home to pick up my baseball bat. Me and the guys thought we'd go night clubbing.
Oh, all right. But I don't want you staying out all night. Be home by 1:30 January at the latest.
Give the boy a break, dear.
Thanks, Dad. Say, can I borrow the sled?
What? Ah, all right. But watch the front left-hand dog. There's a knocking in the big end.
Righto, Dad. See ya. Bye, Mum.
Oh, and shut that door!
But igloos don't have doors.
Shh! Don't let that John Farkas hear you say that. We'll freeze to death in here.
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Colin Bowles, Peter Smalley, David Witt, John Collins, Doug McLeod, Ken Matthews, and Steve Johnson. It came from Wichimota, was produced by Bob Cubbage. Production assistant Linda Hughes, script editor Julianne Ford, sound effects John Nanook Farkas, technical production Warwick Snowshoes Maver and Dennis Arctic Fox. Produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin for Ackerman's Baffin Bay Bitter. The beer on a stick.